Christina.
Hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Having a good, awesome weekend?
I don't know. It's been alright, I guess. What about you?
Actually, pretty good. We just celebrated Sans Pantalunas Day.
What is that?
You don't know Sans Pantalunas Day?
No. So, you know,
it's an official holiday that me and my friends have set up. It happens on the 21st of every March. It's where we take a day off of work and we just celebrate hedonism. So basically it's an all day long celebration of, you know, gluttony and just everything bad for you. So we just eat a lot of like bad food, a lot of dessert cakes, sit around, watch bad movies, a whole bunch of friends just get together for an all-day-long party.
That sounds awesome. You should, like, write to the Capitol and make it a national holiday.
We're going to try and do that. We're going to even try and get, you know, some sponsorship. I'm just afraid that if we do that, it'll become too commercial.
That sounds like the most planned / lazy thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know. And it is true, because everyone's got to bring like a dish. The only thing you got to do is like bring food there. That's it. So everyone can have it, and you just kind of do nothing. It's better than Thanksgiving, because you're not there trying to prepare like this big meal or anything like that. You just bring up on a bunch of like fast snack food. Oh. What about you? What have you been doing this weekend or this week? You've been busy.
No, not really. I haven't really been busy. I mean, today I was just watching some documentaries. I've been catching up on Spike Lee films because I realized, holy hell, I haven't seen all of his films yet. So I was watching, what was I watching today? I was watching Clockers, so I'm going to finish that later. I watched one of his documentaries, Four Little Girls, which I really, really liked. And I just recently watched Jungle Fever, which I also really liked. I think it's my favorite, what's his name? I can't remember. Wesley Snipes. It's my favorite Snipes film.
Okay. I have not seen a lot of his movies. Mainly the big ones like Malcolm X and Do the Right Thing. She's Gotta Have It. Kind of like his key movies I've seen. The Inside Man, that was good. I myself am also behind on a lot of his filmography. Kirkland, I heard, is supposed to be really good.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Okay, that's one I haven't seen at all. Mo' Better Blues, one that I should check out. So yeah, that's great. Are you still doing reviews for the award circuit, or?
Well, I was originally hired to contribute to their Women in Hollywood segment, so I'll do an article for that segment every other Wednesday, so I'm due to have one this Wednesday. And I've also been doing, you know, like a few kind of like filler articles here and there, so yeah, I'm still working there. I'm on 90-day probation, which is up in, I think, a few weeks, because I started in January right after I graduated college, so we'll see what happens after that.
Well, very cool. Yeah, the article you written about, you know, black women in Hollywood, it was really good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's very nice. All right, are you ready to get going with the show?
I am ready.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to the fourth episode of Silver Screen Speak, the podcast where we basically just talk about entertainment and no gossip. I am one of your hosts, The Vern, of The Vern's Video Vortex, and with me today is the very lovely Christina Louis of Aftercut Reviews, as well as Thoughts of a Dying Cinephile.
Hello. Oh,
hey. So, on this show today, I know we're kind of behind on the times a little bit, but we are going to be talking about the upcoming movies of 2014 that we really want to check out. But before we do get into our list, there is one piece in the news that I do want to talk about. One brief thing, and I'll just mention it briefly. I'm excited that they are making an Incredibles 2, but I'm disappointed that they have to make a Cars 3.
I think we all are.
I don't understand it. I'm sure there has to be some sort of, like, you know, business practice or something that says that they have to do one without the other. I don't get it because Cars 2 didn't really make that much money to warrant a sequel. I don't get it. It's one of those, you know, politics of business that I don't understand, but probably should.
Well, didn't they just make an addition to one of the Disneyland theme parks? Like, they were going to have a Cars thing, or maybe they already do. I don't know that.
Yeah, but that.
Maybe it's to kind of promote it.
That should be, you know, ah, well. I mean, I thought they already had the sequel when they did Planes, but maybe that wasn't a natural sequel. I don't know. But the big news that I do want to talk about is the fact that they are going to be doing a live-action version of The Little Mermaid, directed by Sofia Coppola. This is not going to be the Disney version of The Little Mermaid, but it's actually going to be based on the original story by Hans Christian Andersen. And the original story of Little Mermaid is a little bit bleaker than you remember from the Disney version. And if they stick to that, I will be really excited to see it. I would be excited to see, you know, if Sofia Coppola can pull that off. But I guess my question for you, Christina, is what do you think about this recent news? And I have a question, and I'll answer this as well. Is there a fairy tale you would like to see be adapted into a live-action film?
Well, I'll start with your first question. I'm not particularly excited about live-action adaptations of fairy tales. I mean, if you look at the past, they haven't been that great. I mean, what was that one? The Hansel and Gretel one? I haven't seen it, but it looks terrible.
Oh, The Witch Hunters?
Was it The Witch Hunters?
Is that
what it was called?
With Gemma... Yeah, Jimmy Renner and Gemma Edson, yeah.
Yeah,
The Witch Hunters. It does look bad, but from what I've heard from other people, it's supposed to be a lot of, like, cheesy bad fun.
Oh, well, I don't know. I can't judge. I haven't seen it. But I do have to say that I am excited because I am a fan of Sofia Coppola, and although I haven't read the original Andersen version of The Little Mermaid, a friend of mine told me that, you know, it's supposed to be really adult, very mature themed, and so I'm excited to see how Sofia Coppola is going to adapt that, because if you remember, she adapted her own screenplay from The Virgin Suicides from the original novel, and I think she did a really great job, so I'm very excited to see how she's going to pull that off. So yeah, I'm excited. In terms of other fairy tales that I would want to see adapted, I don't think I would be interested unless a director was attached who I was, you know, very much into. For example, and I have a few, let's say Cronenberg did Pinocchio. I would want to see that, you know?
Oh, yeah, it turned into like a body horror film?
Yeah. Like cyberpunk, maybe, thrown in there. Or if David Lynch did, like, Red Riding Hood, that would be really interesting, I think. Or if someone, like a feminist director like Sally Potter did, like, Sleeping Beauty, I'd want to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe, Almodovar could do, like, Snow White. It wouldn't be for children, obviously, because there'd probably be, like, an orgy with, like, all the seven dwarves. That's, like, his style, you know? But, yeah, so if someone big who I really liked was attached to it, I'd definitely go see it, yeah.
No, those are just really good choices. Wow, your choice is much better than mine. I had a hard time trying to think of ones. The only ones I thought about that I would like to see is I would like to see an updated version of Cinderella, mm-hmm. set in modern times, directed by Harmony Korine.
Huh. That would be interesting.
And I also would like to see a version of Peter and the Wolf done by David Fincher.
Oh, I could totally see that happening.
Yeah, it's, but yeah, you have some really good ones right there. Oh, gosh, I could even see, Guillermo del Toro, adapt a fairy tale as well. He could do, like, The Princess and the Pea as well, but...
Oh. Yeah, because, like, even if you just go back and watch Pan's Labyrinth, there were so many, like, fairy tale elements already imbued in it. Like, if you just watch, like, the scene where she's, like, wearing the dress, and then she goes out, and then she takes it off, it looks so much like the Alice in Wonderland dress. I don't know if you noticed that.
That's a good point there. In fact, Del Toro should have been the one to helm the Alice in Wonderland remake.
Maybe, yeah, it might have turned out better. Couldn't have turned out worse.
Yeah, sure, that could have been as well, huh? Very good. All right, very good there. All right, well, we are going to take just a quick break to hear from a fellow LAM member podcast show from the Large Association of Movie Blogs, and we will be right back to talk about our list of best movies that are coming out in 2014.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
You are about to witness history in the making.
Hi there, this is Todd from Forgotten Films, and if you spend all your time watching new releases, then you need to broaden your movie horizons. And a great way to do that is by joining me for the Forgotten Filmcast. We don't talk about the new releases. We don't even talk about the classics. We talk about the movies that time forgot. On each episode, I'm joined by another film blogger to discuss a film that may or may not be worth rediscovering. So look for the Forgotten Filmcast on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts.
And welcome back to Silver Screen Speak. Now, I know, Christina, that we are a little bit behind on putting together the show because me and you have, both been busy with work and school, even though you just graduated, but whatnot. But in any case, we do want to talk about our favorite movies that are coming out to theaters in 2014. And it was really tough to think of just five, but I think we can do it. Do you want to start off with your number five?
Yeah, sure. I'll start with mine. I first want to say that I think it was so... I know it was so hard for me to pick five because it's so early. We're barely like a quarter in, 2014, and we have to kind of project because usually my favorite movies come out like November, December, around that time. So we kind of have to project like, okay, what's going to be good? And there's not a whole lot of trailers or really a whole lot of talk about the movies that I want to see in 2014. So I kind of have to like speculate and guess, and I kind of have to go, okay, well, who are my favorite filmmakers? They're probably the ones whose films I'm going to really like. So I'm going to go, my first pick is with one of my favorite filmmakers right now, Paul Thomas Anderson. He's adapting Inherent Vice, the novel, which I hear is kind of crazy. It's like this detective novel, and it's like drama and comedy. It's like about this detective who has to investigate like a missing ex-girlfriend or something, and Joaquin Phoenix is going to play the lead. So I'm really excited for that because I thought he was amazing, The Master, and I thought he was overlooked this year for Her. So I can't wait to see those two team up again. So that's my first pick.
Oh, good point there. This is definitely on my list too. I put this on like number four. And
I knew you were going to pick it, too.
Yeah, no, it's just, once I saw that Paul Thomas Anderson has a new movie coming out with Joaquin Phoenix, yeah, I was really excited about this. There's no trailer for this, so I really have no idea how it's going to be. And even though I wasn't a big fan of The Master, I'm still excited to see this movie.
Yeah, because like, no matter what, you're going to see amazing performances when you go see one of his films.
Not only that, too, but his movies are really perfect to watch in a theater. I was unfortunate enough to see The Master on a tiny little screen. It was still good to see it, though, but to see it in theaters would just be fantastic. And very, very good choice. All right. For my number five, this one is still, it has been released some other places, but it hasn't really been released here recently, and my pick is Under the Skin.
Oh, see, I knew you were going to pick that too.
directed by Scarlett Johansson, directed by Jonathan Glazer, and I'm picking this movie just based on the trailer alone.
It looks trippy.
Exactly, and I have no idea what exactly is going on. I know the basic story is that she plays an alien who seduces guys and kills them. I don't know exactly what happens after that. It looks like a very, kind of like the Terrence Malick version of Species.
Really? Because it reminded me of 2001, Space Odyssey, a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it definitely has, like, a lot of Kubrick references in there, don't get me wrong. But there's, like, a lot of, like, especially from the trailer that I've seen, all the kind of, like, artful visual shots, it just kind of reminded me of, like, if Terrence Malick was to direct Species. I can't really say Kubrick because Kubrick is dead now, but if Terrence Malick was to take the plot of Species and make an art film about it, it would be that.
No one talking, just all visuals.
That's right. And that is just fine. All right. I wouldn't mind that at all. But yeah, I mean, Jonathan Glazer, I've seen only Sexy Beast. I have not seen Birth. But from what I've been seeing for this movie, it's supposed to be a really just fun-filled trip ride, and I'm all about being tripped out at the theaters.
Well, I've seen Birth and Sexy Beast. I can't say I like Sexy Beast. it kind of put me on edge, but I'm really excited. He definitely has a very unique style, so I'm excited to see this film. And actually, when I heard about this film, people were talking about it during a film festival, I think, and just what people were saying, it really turned me off. I don't know why. It just seemed a really odd premise, but then I saw the trailer, and I was like, kind of blown away, so now I'm really excited. It's not on my top five, but it's definitely a film that I can't wait to see also.
Sweetness. So what would be your number four film?
My number four film is Big Eyes. It's Tim Burton's next movie, and I'm excited to see this because I'm a huge, huge Tim Burton fan. I remember watching some of his movies when I was, like, really little, so he's been a big influence from the very beginning. And I'm very excited for this one because if you haven't heard about it, it's based on a true story about these two artists played by Christoph Waltz and Amy Adams. And they're, you know, like a married couple, and they're going through this divorce. And they're both, like, famous. I think Christoph Waltz's character, or the person that his character is based on, was, like, this famous artist who painted these children's portraits with, like, big eyes. And what happened was they went through a divorce, and then I think I could totally be getting this wrong, but I think the wife claimed that he took her idea, like the big eyes were her idea. And so during the divorce, it also turned into this legal battle of who owns the rights to, you know, these paintings with children with big eyes. So I'm very interested because, I mean, it's based on a true story. So it kind of, it deters from like his other films, which were more, I don't want to say more children, because like Dark Shadows had like some mature themes, but it kind of goes back to, I don't know, some more adult themes, I guess. And I really want him to succeed because his last couple films and the last couple years weren't good, and I don't like them. So I really want to see him succeed. So I hope this kind of does it for him.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the fact too that he is going back and doing more original work. Mm-hmm. Instead of just, you know, rehashes of TV shows and other movies, he's actually going back and doing more original stories. And I think the last really good Tim Burton movie I have seen was Big Fish.
Yeah, that's what everyone says, yeah.
Yeah, so that means that's, he takes the original story of that. And with Big Eyes, it looks interesting. I mean, to be honest with you, I've seen the pictures before, and I always thought that they were recent artwork. Like someone has taken the idea of a 60s drawn and done kind of like with, why am I blanking on the artist's name here? I was going to say Andy Kaufman, but no, that's the comedian. Andy Warhol, and just kind of like skewered, you know, popular images from the 60s with the big eyes. But these were actually word drawn in that period, and I had no idea about that. I do like the fact that the screenwriters of this movie are Scott Alexander and Larry, and I'm going to butcher this last name, and I apologize, Kara Zawiski, who also helped write the biography movie Ed Wood.
I love Ed Wood.
So the fact that we get, you know, both those writers back together with Tim Burton, yeah, that's going to be something really impressive. And, you know, you got the cinematographer is Bruno Del Bono, who also shot Amelie. Yeah, I'm very excited to see how this movie is going to turn out. I have no doubt that this movie is going to look really good. Hopefully we'll get a trailer soon. I hope. But yeah, no, very, very solid choice with that one. All right, so my number, wow, my batch number four? No, because I think, yeah, sorry, because I already said that my Under the Skin was number five. And I mentioned that Inherent Vice was my number four. Mm-hmm. Inherent Vice, I'm hoping we'll get a trailer for that one soon. Very interested in what you describe about the plot of that. So I'm not going to talk too much about Inherent Vice because we just talked about it already. So let's move on to your number three.
Okay, well, my number three, I don't really know that much about it. I've seen a trailer, but it's a little... It looks very enigmatic, so I don't know if I can talk a lot about it, but it's from one of my favorite directors, Christopher Nolan, and it's Interstellar. And I've been really happy with Christopher Nolan's films, minus the Batman films, and people are going to hate me for saying that, but I don't care. I'm really happy that he did the Batman films, because I feel... Without doing that, he probably wouldn't have had the budget to do the film that he did right after, which I'm blanking on the name right now. I don't know why.
The Prestige?
Inception.
Inception,
sorry.
Okay.
So I think he's an amazing writer, him and his brother, Jonathan Nolan. So I'm really excited to see this. And it has one of my favorite actors, Matthew McConaughey, in it. And I'm so happy that he's in this because... I know a lot of people are, like, on the McConaughey train right now, like, oh, he just won, like, Oscar and all that, but I just want to say, for the record, I've been a Matthew McConaughey fan before his Oscar, okay? Like, I remember telling my friends, Matthew McConaughey is going to get big, and this was before I even saw Mud. I'm like, you guys just wait, he's going to have his moment, and everyone laughed, and now I have the last laugh.
Nice.
But, I guess Interstellar is, and I'm just going off the IMDb synopsis, is about a group of explorers who make use of a newly discovered wormhole to surpass the limitations on human space travel and conquer the vast distances involved in an interstellar voyage. No idea what that means, but I'm so hyped to see it.
Well, yeah, cause, I mean, the trailer of this is very ambiguous. You have no idea exactly what's going to happen in this, but we know the name Christopher Nolan, so we know we're going to get a good movie. In fact, the whole trailer could have been, look, Christopher Nolan has a new movie, come see it. And I would be like, all right, here's my money. All right, I'm there. I'm sold. I like the fact, too, that the trailer doesn't give away any plot points. Too many times, trailers try to give away the whole story. And this just, that's what trailers are supposed to do. It's supposed to tease you in to see the movie, and it totally has it. It has me by the neck. It's not on my list because it is a movie I'm going to see. I didn't put it on there mainly for the fact that I need to see a little bit of a longer trailer. I know that sounds selfish of me, and it probably does, but I need to see just a little bit more because the trailer just basically has a guy driving while it sounds like someone from NASA talking.
Yeah, he's just like in his car looking up at the sky.
Yeah, you know, all the things that we've done. It almost, that trailer of Interstellar, could have been used as the trailer for Cosmos, the TV series, I feel.
Everyone I know and their mother is talking about Cosmos. Okay, is it something I need to watch?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's that good.
I'll start recording it on my DVR.
It blows your mind, yes. It takes everything you think you know about the world and just totally expands more on it. Yeah, really good.
Is it narrated by Morgan Freeman or something?
Oh, that would be great if it was. It's not, but the guy they have hosting it is really good, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no, really stellar choice there, Interstellar. Got a great cast besides Matthew McConaughey. You got Jessica Chastain, Anne Hathaway, Matt Damon, Michael Caine. John Lithgow, yeah, really just a huge cast of this. And I do like the fact, too, that you mentioned Jonathan Nolan, because I don't think him and his brother have collaborated on a movie since Memento.
Yeah.
So very kind of cool to see. And we have no idea of how it's going to be structured. The plot could go backwards and forward. Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. So that was your number three of Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
My number three is going to be, yes, I'm going to go there, Guardians of the Galaxy. When I saw the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, I was just happy because this is a property of Marvel that most people don't know about. Hell, I don't know anything about the Guardians of the Galaxy. All I know is that this is Marvel's next kind of big movie to help go with the Avengers 2. And the thing that really sells me on this movie, not only the trailer, which is very kind of fun and almost tongue-in-cheek, is the fact that it's being directed by James Gunn. Now, James Gunn, he's the director of movies such as like Super and Slither, and he directs a lot of like these kind of like B movies with like a clout. You know, he can actually get good actors to be in these movies. And I like the fact that you have a guy whose first movie was a trauma movie. He actually helped co-write and co-direct Romeo and Juliet to now helm a big Marvel project. And I'm very, very excited to see this movie. I do like the cast in this. I do like the fact that you have, Bradley Cooper as Rocket the Raccoon. I'm just trying to remember now that new guy there. Chris Pine.
Chris Pine, isn't it?
No, sorry. I'm sorry.
Chris Pratt,
thank you. Gosh. Okay. Him in there. Yeah, and if you watch the trailer for this, it's... Let's see, hold on here. Okay. You watch the trailer for this, though, it's just about a bunch of, like, almost looks like space pirates out in the vast reaches of space there. It's about an American pilot who basically becomes the object of a manhunt after stealing an orb by a villainous team. And I'm reading that right off of IMDb. Peter Quill, he plays a guy. Chris Pratt plays a guy known as Peter Quill. The trailer doesn't give you much plot information, but I can't go wrong with this, though. It's got Karen Gillian from Doctor Who, Zoe Saldana, Vin Diesel. It's just the whole fact that you have a guy known mainly for directing B movies and over the top genre pieces, directing a big blockbuster feature. That actually has me more excited to see this movie than any of the other superhero movies. Because I've never seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I have no clue what these characters are going to do. Like, most of the superhero movies, you already have a set mind of what's going to happen with those characters. Mm-hmm. Like Captain America, you kind of know what's going to happen in a Captain America movie. Spider-Man, you kind of know what's going to happen with Spider-Man. But I have no clue. Same thing with X-Men. X-Men, you know those characters before. They're going to have different adventures. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy, you don't know either the characters or the story. And it's going to be completely different. I like the fact that they take a comedic tone with the style of the trailer and the movie. It's just going to be really a lot of fun. And I need to have a fun superhero movie because I'm sick and tired of all these like dark, brooding superheroes.
Now I'm going to ask a stupid question. Is this live action?
Yes, it is.
That's interesting, because I've only seen a poster for this movie, and I saw the fox that Bradley Cooper is, I don't know if he's playing or voicing, so that kind of...
Rocket Raccoon! Rocket Raccoon!
Okay, the raccoon. Sorry. I actually never heard of this movie, or even the title, before, I guess, the trailer came out or whatever, so I know absolutely nothing about it, to be honest.
Oh, that trailer, I don't know about you, but it sold me. Ooga chaka chaka chaka, ooga chaka chaka chaka. Never thought I would like that song at all, but that movie has totally sold me on Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede. Yes, I'm sure that's got to be the most downloaded song right now after that trailer came out. Oh, yeah, I want to have that song be my ringtone all the time. Oh. So, let's move on then to... Oh my gosh, we're down to our number two most movies we want to see. Number two, Christina, what do we got?
Okay, well, first of all, I didn't know we were counting down, so I just, like, picked random... Or, like, I put them in random order, so they're not, like... My number one isn't, like, my number one pick.
Oh,
sorry, I should have paid more attention to that.
No, that's totally fine. Yeah, we don't actually have a top list here, so seriously, my number five could easily be number one. These are all movies that I want to see... But since we can't actually watch them all at the same time, I'm going to put my numbers up.
Yeah. Okay, so my next pick is a movie called Maps to the Stars by David Cronenberg, who's one of my favorite directors. And the reason I picked this is simply because David Cronenberg is directing. I put this on my list without having watched a trailer, without having seen any stills, without really even knowing what it's about, other than it's about Hollywood and its attitude, I guess. So all I know is that based on IMDb, what it says, it's a complex look at Hollywood and what it reveals about Western culture. It stars Julianne Moore, Robert Pattinson, Mia Wasikowska, John Cusack, Carrie Fisher, Olivia Williams, some pretty big names. So I never, let me see, the last, I think like two or three Cronenbergs I want to go see, I had like no expectation, no idea what they were about, but I was so happy just to be there because I'm such a big fan of his, you know, so I don't know, for me, I don't even need to know what it's about. I just know Cronenberg is helming it, so I'm going to be there watching it in the theaters.
Oh, yeah, good point there. And as much as I did not like his last movie, Cosmopolis.
Yeah, no one likes it, but I did.
I'll be honest with you, I've only seen it once. Uh-huh. But after I watched it, I'm like, you know what, I am going to have to go back and watch that again. And I think it's still streaming on Netflix, and if so, I will definitely watch it again. But I'll have to watch it with subtitles, because I feel that I missed something in the dialogue when I saw it in theaters.
I was about to ask you why you didn't like it. Was it because it was too much dialogue and it was hard to pay attention to kind of what was going on?
A lot of times, yes. And when I was watching in theaters, I'm like, wait, hold on here. What did I just miss there? Because you really have to be paying attention to that movie. And maybe it was the theater I saw it in and there was like other people kind of like talking off to the side and I got distracted for a second. And I feel with that movie, Cosmopolis, if you're distracted for even a second...
Mm-hmm.
That's going to throw you off the movie, and it's going to be difficult to understand it. That's why if I can go back and watch the movie with like subtitles and I miss something, I can go back and go, oh, wait, what was that he just said?
If you do go back and watch it, can I make your life a little easier?
Okay.
I remember, I think it was right after I went to go see it, I went online and I looked up this interview with Cronenberg. I forget who it was. It might have been on Rotten Tomatoes, but I could be wrong. And, you know, the interviewer asked him, why do you have so much dialogue? You know, you literally took excerpts from the book without changing anything. And he's like, well, that was kind of the point, because, like, this whole time Robert Pattinson's character is in this limo and there's so much craziness going on outside that it's almost – it's odd that all this stuff is happening outside him, but he's like in this bubble and it's almost like it's not affecting him. Like, it's not affecting him or what he does. He's just continuing with his lifestyle, even though it's so, like, the stuff on the outside should be distracting, but it's not. And that's kind of what the dialogue is doing. It's kind of distracting you. So that was kind of the point. You're not supposed to catch everything that they say.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. And I do like the fact that Robert Pattinson is appearing in this movie as well. I know a lot of people like to, you know, diss on him because of the Twilight franchise. But I still think the guy is a good actor, and he can basically be, was good in Cosmopolis, and excited to see his work here. As well as Mia Wasikowska. Really liked her in the Grand Budapest Hotel. And
oh, I still haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that's a good one. Julianne Moore. Yeah, in fact, I like the fact that, you know, John Cusack is in this movie as well, because I have not seen him be in any type of serious drama in a while. Even though I don't think this movie is going to be a quite serious drama all the way, it's supposed to be like a satire, so I'm sure there's going to be some funny moments, but it's a Cronenberg movie, it's not going to be a straight comedy.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But no, go ahead, you were...
I was just going to say, it's funny how this movie is called Maps to the Stars, but I think John Cusack has kind of been, like, on the back burner. He's more, like, of a B actor now.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
That is true. Oh. All right. So, Maps to the Stars. In fact, I don't think this one even has a release date, does it?
2014. That's all I know.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So, look forward to trailers for that one soon. All right. So, my number two pick is Noah. It's the,
Really?
That's actually, you know what? I'm sorry. That was my fault. That was not my number two. I jumped the gun here a little bit. My number two is actually going to be Sin City, A Dame to Kill For.
Oh, I didn't know that was coming out this year.
Yep, it comes out in August. I know this is the movie that has taken forever to come to the big screen. But yes, this is the new sequel from Frank Miller, Robert Rodriguez, based on the books. The story of A Dame to Kill For is about Dwight plays a guy, not a detective, kind of guy on his hard times right there, doesn't have a lot of money. He meets a former flame, Ava Lord, played by Eva Green. Dwight McCarthy is played by Josh Brolin. She says that she needs help from her abusive husband, Damien Lord, played by Martin Kostikas. But basically, and I don't want to give too much away, but if you know Sin City and you know the books, you know nothing is ever as it seems. But yeah, that's kind of the basic story. This Dwight, who is the I believe the same character from The Hard Goodbye, who was played in that movie by Clive Owen, is now played by Josh Brolin in this movie, and apparently he looks a lot different than he does, not just the actor playing him, but because apparently he had some physical, the character itself had some physical reconstruction surgery done. Yeah, just from the trailer alone of this, it looks really cool. I was a big fan of Sin City, and I'm definitely a fan to check this out. If they do the story of this any justice, it's going to be really good. The trailer looks really great. I do like the fact that they basically do bring back all the same cast in this movie, except for the obvious, like I said, Dwight McCarthy is now played by Josh Brolin instead of Clive Owen. I still think it works great, mainly because in the book, the character itself looks different in this story than he did in The Hard Goodbye, and it made sense that they would actually use a different actor to play him. But yeah, Bruce Willis, all the other same characters you liked from the first one are in this one, and all of the actors they got to play the roles of these characters are really good. I mean, Eva Green looks like that character, Ava Lord. mean, really, it was like basically they have taken the actual comic of Sin City, A Damn to Kill For, and used that as like a sketchpad blueprint of how the shots are going to look for the movie.
Well, I'm excited that you're excited. I'm not going to see this just because I haven't seen the original Sin City, so I'm probably not going to watch it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, this is the fact that they kind of do the whole, they do the comic book justice. That's one of the main things I love about the story, is that it's black and white, it's very noirish, but at the same time, too, it's a comic book world. Yeah, it's hard to describe, but it's the perfect adaptation of a comic book to screen. Because I remember when I got the special edition of the Sin City, it comes with a mini comic book of one of the stories. It's a story with the character of Marv, played by Mickey Rourke. Forgot the actual name of the story, though, but they give you the copy of the book, and when you read the book of that and you see the movie, all the panels that were in the comic book were the same thing used on screen. So it's just like the director Robert Rodriguez took the actual comic book, and each panel was used as like a storyboard. He used the comic book as like storyboards for the movie itself, and like he kind of compiles a shot list based on the panels of the comic book, and I'm hoping he's going to do the same thing for the sequel as well. The only thing the only thing that has me really skeptical is that it's taken this long to come out. That has me a little bit nervous that, you know, it's taken this long for this movie to come out. I don't know how well it's going to do based on the fact that it's taken this long, but yeah, it's still one that I will see.
Well, Rodriguez seems to be very faithful to the original material that he adapts his films into, so I guess if it's taking him a long time, that should kind of be like reassurance that he really cares and he puts a lot of finesse into his work and he's going to put out a good product.
Very much so. All right, very cool. Well, now, are we ready to hear your number one?
My number one, not really my number one, but my last pick.
Okay.
It's this comedy called The Interview by, it's directed and written by Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, who did This Is the End, I think like a year and a half ago. And I thought they did a pretty good job with that film in terms of just writing and directing it, you know. I really liked it. It was one of my favorite movies that year, so I'm excited to see them team up and helm another film together. This one's about, I guess, James Franco and Seth Rogen. They're, like, hired to kill Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea. that's all I know. There's no trailer. There's not even any, like, stills of the film, or at least not that I've searched, so I don't know. But, I mean, you know, Evan Goldberg, Seth Rogen, I'm in, so that's all I can say about it.
Yeah, this is, all right, is this going to be a comedy?
It looks like, I mean, okay, I don't see how it could not be a comedy, you know?
I mean, but is it going to be one of those movies where the tone is going to be very comedic, and then as it goes into it, it becomes a more serious drama? Like, it will infuse a lot of, like, political issues into it.
I mean, I think it's going to be hard not to infuse political issues, but I think they're going to execute it and address it with satire like they always do.
Okay. I mean, it almost sounds like this almost kind of reminds me of the whole thing that happened with, like, Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-il. I mean, I'm not saying that they represent Dennis Rodman, but the whole thing of, like, you know, them being kind of, like, you know, influenced by that world, I guess, and them being almost, how to strategize better, like, basically how they become kind of seduced by that world, maybe. I know that they're there to, you know, take them out. It just, I'm not just playing myself, you're right, but it looks like the movie, and I'm saying this out of my own ass here because I have no clue about what this movie is really about. I've not seen any trailers for this. Mm-hmm. I'm basing this just on the basic synopsis of this movie. It just kind of sounds like they're going there to basically kill this guy, and I'm afraid that they're going to, but not really afraid, but it sounds like to me that they could be like the Dennis Rodman character and become seduced by that world. Like, because here's a dictator, we can get whatever we want, you know, we're kind of treated like celebrities, do we want to kill him?
Oh.
That's how I could see the story going.
We'll see, I guess.
Oh, but like I said, I could totally be wrong. I like the fact that they're, you know, doing more original material. I mean, I love this at the end. Very curious to see this movie. It's definitely not on my list, but is one that you have sold me on seeing. So, yes, thank you. Thank you for that, Christina.
I had to pick a comedy.
I like that. All right, and my number one that I mentioned earlier was Noah. And I'm picking this movie just because it is Darren Aronofsky.
I'm surprised you didn't pick that Woody Allen film that's coming out as your number one.
Was it The Fate and Gigolo?
I can't remember what it's called.
The one where he, well, with him with, gosh, he plays the pimp to John, oh, I can't remember the guy's name now. Oh, gosh. John Turturro.
It's called Magic in the Moonlight.
Oh, his own movie he's directed. No, I had no idea that he had another movie. Okay. All right, well, that would be now part of my honorable mentions there, but I would still pick Noah over Magic in the Moonlight because I am a huge Darren Aronofsky fan.
Mm-hmm.
I liked all of his movies. He has a great visual style. Ever since Pi, I've been mm-hmm. loving every movie that this guy has made. And I like the fact that he's going to take this biblical epic and turn it into, I think, would be a really beautiful visual movie, kind of almost on the same vein as, like, The Fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of that movie, even though it was difficult to understand the movie. I still liked all the visuals in there. Yeah, I'm just really excited to see this one. And I like the fact that it reunites him with Jennifer Connelly. I like the fact that both Jennifer Connelly and Russell Crowe are in this movie together again since Beautiful Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just, from the trailers I've seen from this, it has everything that I want to see in a movie. Both him and the co-screenwriter of this, also the Ari Handel, his other screenwriter, I believe that, yeah, they also worked on The Fountain as well. Actually, I think they also did write, they also did write The Fountain. So, yeah, I'm very, very excited to check this one out. I do like the cast in this, and I'm not much a fan of biblical movies, but you put Darren Aronofsky's name in front of this, I will definitely seek this one out.
This is probably, I'm glad you brought this movie up, because it comes out, I think, next Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was kind of debating whether I should put this on my list, and I ended up omitting it just because, and this was really hard because, I mean, we've talked about Aronofsky in past podcasts, and I'm a huge Darren Aronofsky fan. I remember watching Pi, and I remember watching pretty much all of his films I watched in high school, and they were, like, huge for me. They were, like, mind-blowing, like, what the fuck just happened, but I loved it, kind of, in a good way. And this is the first film that I'm really not looking forward to. I mean, I really want to see it just to see how he executes it, but just following him on Twitter, I feel like there's going to be way too much didacticism in the film. Like, I know he's a huge animal rights activist and a huge environmentalist, and I feel like his film is just like a very thin veneer for that. And for me, that's really disappointing because I feel like he's using something to put out, you know, his cause, and that's cool, but I don't know. I guess I'll have to see the movie. I can't. It's not fair to judge before I see it, but I am excited because, you know, as you mentioned, there are some really great actors, some young actors that I really admire too, Logan Lerman, Emma Watson, so there's that, and also the score by Clint Mansell. So
you're afraid that he's going to infuse his own, you know, political beliefs into the story of Noah and his ark?
Yeah, that, and I've also been hearing some of the reviews, and people have been, like, split right down the middle. Some people love it, some people hate it.
Okay. I can imagine that. I mean, if this movie was done by anyone else, I wouldn't care to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the fact that Darren Aronofsky's name is attached to this made me want to see this, because his last movie he did was Black Swan, which was a very trippy horror film, and he goes from doing that to doing a biblical epic like this is really just two ends of the spectrum I would never have guessed that he would do. But it made sense, too, because the guy did The Fountain, which is in a way also a biblical epic without being a biblical epic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I'm excited to see that each movie he has coming out is going to be something completely different.
Well, he adapted this from one of his own graphic novels that he wrote.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. All right. So I guess one of the things, too, that people I've read have a problem with is that it may not be accurate
to the story
of the Bible.
Yeah, I don't care about that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Just, it's gonna be still an awesome movie, all right? I'm hoping that Noah's Ark will have, like, you know, guns on them or something like that, or just some weird animal creatures that you don't even know existed before.
Well, I heard the angels are, like, super awesome.
Sweet. Yes. I love it. all right. Well, I think that covers our list, but since we had, you know, five movies that we had to choose from, I had a bunch of just honorable mentions, so why don't we just quickly list them off. What did you have as an honorable mention?
We'll just list them. I had Gone Girl, David Fincher film with Ben Affleck. Interested to see Ben Affleck act. Definitely in a David Fincher film. I think that'll be very interesting. Maleficent. It looks really good. Can't wait to see that. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1. Really loved the last one. Can't wait for this one. The Hobbit, even though I haven't seen the second one, which comes out on DVD in a few weeks, I'm going to rent it on Redbox, but excited to see that. The X-Men sequel, although I'm kind of nervous because Bryan Singer's behind it, and although I loved Usual Suspects, was not a fan of Jack the Giant Slayer at all.
No one was.
I know. And I guess my last one is Fury, the David Ayer film with Brad Pitt, Michael Peña, Shia LaBeouf, Logan Lerman. I'm missing some people. John Bernthal, I think that's his name, from Walking Dead. Looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah. Good choices with the X-Men, Days of Future Past, and Maleficent, if I said that right? Maleficent?
Something like that.
Okay. Great choices with there. My choices, really briefly, was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, mainly because Matt Reeves, the director of Let Me In, as well as the Cloverfield, doing that one. I do want to see Wish I Was Here, which is the new movie directed by Zach Braff.
Is that the one he did the Kickstarter?
I think so. Yeah, you know, his last movie that he did was Garden State. That movie was kind of a pleasant surprise to me. I didn't think I was going to enjoy that movie, but I enjoyed that movie a lot, so I'm glad to see that he is directing another movie. There's the Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, which I'm kind of intrigued to see how they're going to adapt that. Only Lovers Left Alive, which I guess can be...
I forgot to add that one.
That could very well be a new movie, because it's coming out, at least where I live, it's coming out like next week or so, but definitely want to see that Jim Jarmusch movie about Asian vampires with Tilda Swinton, Tom Hiddleston. Lucy is a movie written and directed by Luc Besson, and it has Scarlett Johansson as a drug mule, and one of the drugs that she takes turns her into this hybrid mutant superhero. Sounds off the wall bizarre, but I definitely want to check that one out. Gone Girl is also on my list. And Into the Woods, the live action, well, actually I wouldn't say live action version, but the actual adaptation of the stage play. And it's being directed by Rob Marshall, who did Chicago. And I really liked what he did with that musical, so I'm interested to see what he will do with that movie.
Very cool list.
Yes. So I think that's going to wrap it up, our episode of our movies that we want to watch for 2014. You can check out all of our older episodes of Silver Screen Speak by visiting us at our Podomatic page, and that is silverscreenspeak.podomatic.com. We will, like I said before, put together a Facebook page shortly, but just listen to our past shows there, leave us any comments, any suggestions you would have. Check out the other podcasts over at the Large Association of Movie Blogs. And I want to say I am Vern from the Vern's Video Vortex. And Christina, tell our listeners where they can find you at.
I guess the best way to find me is on Twitter at Aftercut Reviews, and on my blog, blogger/Christina Lule, or my new blog, Thoughts of a Dying Atheist, on WordPress.
All right. From all of us here at Silver Screen Speak, thank you very much for listening, and have yourself a great night.
Bye.
No, don't speak. Please don't speak. Please don't speak. No, no, no. Go. Go, gentle Scorpio, go. Your Pisces wishes you every happy return.